What's up, y'all? I'm Amber, aka Ambie, and this is Ambiguity with Ambie, an interview podcast where I speak to guests who have encountered countless spaces and moments of ambiguity and uncertainty to discover and learn from how they navigated it. Let's get into today's episode. What's up, y'all, and welcome to another episode of Ambiguity with Ambie, where we discuss what it's like to navigate spaces of uncertainty and ambiguity. I'm your girl, Amber, aka Ambie, and today I am joined by one of my most favorite people in the world, my dearly beloved cousin, Keisha. Hi, Keisha.
Hi, girl.
Well, I have had the fortunate opportunity and blessing of knowing you my entire life. But for people that don't know you, can you tell the listeners a little bit about you?
Okay. I am a wife and a mother to two children, ages almost 15 and almost three. I'm a physician, an OBGYN, practicing in the state of Mississippi. Hey. I'm the eldest of seven children. Might be eight, but there's one. Sometimes I lose count. A lover of people and a child of God.
Amen. I love it. So I've had the opportunity to get to know you, but I want everyone else to get to know you a little bit better. Is that okay, Keisha?
That's fine.
All right. So we're going to dive into a part of the podcast that I like to call Fast Five. So during this portion, I'm going to ask you a couple random questions, and I just want to get your take on it. Like, so let us know what comes to mind first. And if there's a little backstory behind it, feel free to give us the backstory. So okay. To start off, to make sure you're still in the family, I'm going to have to go with this one first. So okay. When you're making grits, you going sugar or you going salt?
Salt.
Okay, listen, I just had to make sure because, you know, this is...
No, sugar does not belong. No, sugar does not belong.
Thank you. Let the people know. Let the people know. All right, so you got a road trip coming up. You're going across country. Maybe you're not going across country. Maybe you just going from good old Mississippi to coming to visit us and, you know, H-Town, getting you a little road trip in. You can only listen to one artist. Who are you listening to?
Lauryn Hill.
Classic.
Miss Education, Lauryn Hill.
Classic. classic. All right. So did you get into the chicken sandwich phase, like the craze that was going on with all the different chicken sandwiches?
No, because I don't have the patience to wait in line that long. You might want to skip that one.
Oh, well, listen, we'll let you speak on behalf of the hubby.
Okay. Well, he went and got them for a taste, and I was very unimpressed.
You were unimpressed?
I mean, it's good. It's all right, but it wasn't, like, worth waiting in line for 4 hours for a chicken sandwich.
Okay, so for the record, when it comes to the chicken sandwich debate, are you going Chick-fil-A or Popeyes?
Oh, Chick-fil-A.
Listen, yeah. It's something by Jesus chicken.
It is. It's blessed and holy. But not greasy. That's the biggest thing.
That part. Even though, I mean, Popeye's good, though. Popeye's is good.
Well, you know, me and Popeye's have a love-hate relationship after I got sick right before my college graduation. After I ate some Popeye's. So, right before, that's what I said. I can't remember what I just said. But, yeah, so I would always choose Chick-fil-A.
All right. So question four, I believe. Patti LaBelle or Gladys Knight? Who did you have on the verses?
Well, it was hard for me. Because for me, it was a tie. But going in, I probably would have said more Patti just because she is the performance wise is always going to be like on point. But Gladys's vocals never miss. Not like Patti's do, but like they never, ever, ever miss. So I think it's hard to choose.
Okay. Listen, I was on the Midnight Train to Georgia.
I was just singing it in my head now.
Oh man, good stuff.
So I was a Pip question. And Gladys.
You was a Pip. Listen, weren't we all full sets? Full yes. sets. And then had to kick off our shoes during Patty's part. Yes. Had to fly a little bit.
Yeah, and roll around on the floor a little bit.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. All right. So final question. Have you, in all of your life with Patti LaBelle and Gladys Knight and your Popeyes and your Chick-fil-A, have you ever experienced or faced ambiguity or uncertainty?
Oh, my Lord. Yes, many, many a time.
Girl, haven't we all? Good time. That it seems like it's just a part of life at some point. So for you, can you tell us about a time when you faced that ambiguity or uncertainty?
Sure. So I mentioned in the opener that I am a physician. And I'm an OBGYN. I graduated from medical school in 2012. So that's 10 years. Yeah, since I've been an MD. But the road there was not straight. It was winding. I knew I wanted to be a doctor from the time I was six and OB from the time I was in ninth grade. So that was what I was working toward. Yeah. And when I was in college, I feel like I wasn't prepared for what was to come and what was required. Yeah. So I didn't learn about the MCAT until I was a junior in college. Wow. Our college had a program where you could be on a track to go like straight into medical school. But if you weren't in their program, you were almost kind of ignored. In a sense, so they weren't prepping everybody else. They were prepping those people because they had a relationship with two different medical schools. But the prep work, I felt like, wasn't there for the rest of us. And so it was a lot that I had to figure out on my own. And that's a little late in the game to be trying to figure out about tests like that and, you know, things that would be required for you to get into school. So I did not get into medical school right out of college. I applied to several, and I got into a post-bac program, a post-baccalaureate program at the university of Mississippi Medical Center. That's supposed to be then a feeder into medical school, right? But you have to do it 2 years. So I got a master's doing that, a master's in biomedical science. And then I had to retake that test again. Didn't do as well as I even did the first time, that MCAT test. Never forget, I took it on crutches because I had sprained my ankle and had to go up like a flight of stairs on these crutches trying to get there to take my exam. And then still didn't hit the mark. And so I didn't get in yet again the second time. So as I'm graduating from my master's program, trying to figure out what in the world I'm going to do with my life, I remember standing in my closet getting dressed for the graduation. And I was just in tears. And my mom was giving me a gift for graduation. And I was like, I'm just not going to happen. Like, I'm not going to make it. I need to figure out what else I'm going to do. And she said, you have to keep believing like I believe. I believe in you and I'm praying for you. And at that point, I think I was just so mad at God. I wasn't praying about it. I was just angry because I was like, this is what is the vision that you gave me. Why is it not coming to fruition? Yeah. You know, what am I doing wrong that it's not happening? And just trying to figure out in that time what I was going to do. I did a couple of things. I worked as a bank teller. So can you imagine? You got a college degree and a master's degree, all in things that are based in science, and you going applying for jobs. And every time somebody would ask me, they'll look at it and look at me and say, what are you doing here? They say, well, I need to work until I can get into medical school. I'm working on trying to get into medical school. And so I took a course to try to take this MCAT test again. And in that time, a friend of mine's sister had a baby that she needed some help with. And she was my roommate. And I was like, bring that baby here. And so I started taking care of her, us together, but mostly me. And she became mine over that time. Yeah. And while I was working at the bank teller, I reapplied to medical school while taking care of this child. In December of 2011, I opened my email and found out that I got into medical school.
Wow.
And excuse me, not 2011. That's wrong. I'm sorry. 2007. Okay. That I got into medical school. And I remember crying and just being in complete disbelief because I had applied to all these places and got all these rejection letters that I still have over here in this thing that you can't see that I'm planning to put up in my office when I get them all framed. All of those rejections and that one yes.
Wow.
And ended up going to medical school. And of course, there were still periods of uncertainty there. I had to relearn how to study. It is there that I found out that I had attention deficit after not doing, like, I did okay the first couple of years, but I ended up being tested by a psychiatrist. And they're like, yeah, like, it's pretty significant. It's not ADHD, but it's like an impulsive type of ADD. So once I figured out how to study and how I learned this, I started to flourish in medical school. Wow. And went on to, you know, do residency at the university and excel there and become a chief resident there and win lots of awards at graduation. And so everything just kind of aligned itself. And when I look back on it, I can see God's plan.
Mm.
And I was reminded, and I'm always reminded, that it's hard to see it while you're in it, right? Yeah. It was the fervent prayers of my mother and probably, you know, one of my aunts and a bunch of other people outside of me when I felt like it wasn't going to happen that kind of helped it start to align. And I think that the plan was for me to have this baby girl of mine.
Yeah.
And because if I had been in medical school, there's no way I would have been like, let's bring the child here, like bring her here. Because the rigor of the medical school are a little bit much for you to be trying to have a baby. And so I entered that with her. I have pictures of her sleeping on her nap mat in the classroom wing while I'd be studying with my friends. She was a constant for our group of friends. And, you know, and she was part of what pushed me, right? Because I knew she was watching. And so when I look at it, I'm like, oh, that was the plan all along. That wasn't for me to know at the time. There's no way for me to know. But it's just all part of how God works in our lives. But you know, when I graduated, she was standing there next to me when I got my, you know, white coat and when I found out where we were going to match for residency and I brought her up on that stage. And as I looked down at her, I was like, wow, you know, we did it. And I felt like we had done it together. And then we did residency together. So it's just a lot of meaning to her presence in my life more than she will ever know that, you know, I feel like it was exactly what God wanted. So that was one.
Wow. So, I mean, I was there along the road with you, but there's so much that I still like didn't even know. So you mentioned so many amazing things. Let's walk it back real quick to when you're at school and you recognize that you are not ready for this next step or this next phase in life. How did you navigate that space of ambiguity and uncertainty? And then I'm going to keep going because there were so many points that you hit, but just starting off with school, like if we have a listener that's currently in school and they know what they want to do, but they're realizing that they are not prepared or they don't have the credentials that they need, or they don't have the insert thing here. How did you navigate it? And how would you suggest they navigate that space?
Well, I think you need to find somebody that's supportive in your department that can help you try to figure some of that stuff out. And now it's so much stuff on Google now that you can find and figure out, what do I need to go to medical school? And it'll, you know, it'll come up, pull up certain medical schools. You'd be able to figure out what you need, trying to teach myself how to study. So standardized tests were not built for Black people. So that's number one. And so that in itself is a hurdle. When you are a person who has anxiety, who struggles when you see choices and question yourself about which one is the right one, you know, trying to learn test taking skills, going back and taking, you know, courses. I took a CAPA course to try to help me with the test. And even then, when I did that, I didn't even do that much better, you know. So I think you just have to find people who are where you want to be and see what they did. Look at what all the requirements are to be what it is that you want to be and find somebody in your department that's going to be supportive of that. And so I think those are the things I had no idea.
Okay. So that makes sense. It seems like it's really important to have or to find that person that maybe can, maybe based on experience or education or whatever, can guide you and help you to kind of learn what you don't know.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you found this person, you've gotten your assistance, you get your bachelor's, you get your master's, and then you still have this amazing dream before you. You still have this amazing vision that you know is definitely going to come to fruition, right? So in the midst of that, you are sitting like smack dab in the middle of ambiguity and uncertainty, because you have all of these things here, and then you have this vision on the other side, and you're not quite sure how you're going to get to it. So you start applying for these different jobs. And as you're doing this, what was it like for you while you were facing that?
It was stressful. It was anxiety provoking because there was no plan B. Mm. And so I felt like I was trying to come up with one, because at that point, yeah, that was the vision, but I was like, was that the vision? Was that really the vision that God gave me? Because why is it not happening? What am I doing? What am I doing wrong? You know? So I was trying to figure out, what was it going to be? Did I need to go back and get a degree? And because I wanted to minor in Spanish, but we didn't offer that where I went to college. And I was like, do I need to just go back and be like a translator for the United States? Like, like, what do I need to do?
Right.
But something in me just said, just give it, just do it one more time. Just one more. Just do it once more. Mm. And that's what I did. I went back once more.
Wow. Mm. So you went back once more and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. Amazing. So kind of along the same lines as the last question I asked. So if there's a listener out there that has this dream, they have gotten the vision, they have the dream, but life does not look like what this vision is, or the path to the vision is not clear or plain. What advice would you give them for, I guess, just kind of existing in that space?
One thing, you know, I love quotes. So one of my favorite ones is, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Mm. And you have to kind of keep that in the back of your mind. And whatever the vision is, if you believe that this is the vision that's been given to you and the mission for your life, you have to keep that in the forefront. You, even right now, we went in my bathroom, I have dry erase markers and I write on my mirror different things, different affirmation stuff that I've thought about, that I know that were give thoughts that were given to me. And just don't give up. Because that's what, you know, with old people always say, the devil just wants you to do the city waiting on, you know, the outside forces, if you believe in those, are waiting for you to just say, never mind. Mm-hmm. You know, this is not what is meant for me. But you got to be sure that that's what was meant for you, for you to keep, continue to seek it. Even if you have to do something else in the meantime, like, you got to keep feeding yourself, right? But you have to also remember that there was a vision and a dream, and keep that in the forefront.
Yeah.
And keep working toward it.
But as you were working toward it, like, how did you not give up? Like, you spoke about so many potential setbacks. And there even encountered so many potential setbacks that could have taken you down a completely different path. Like, how did you hold on?
Well, it wasn't me. Like I spoke about, my mom and praying for me, people of my family who uplifted me and believed in the dream that I had been telling them about, they would keep asking me about it. You know, my real friends who are close to me, who whenever I call, be like, what's up, doc? I'm ready to make my appointment. You know, even when I hadn't even gotten into medical school yet, is that kind of push, you know, to be like, well, other people believe in me.
Yeah,
they believe in me too. And it's important to have those people around you. And if you don't, you just have to try to figure out how to be that person for yourself.
Mm, wow. Okay. So you were in college and you had someone eventually help you to get where you wanted to go in terms of learning to navigate the path and getting all the things that you needed for your preparation. And you gave amazing advice to our listeners about even using some, it's so weird to think about, like, the difference in where we are with, like, Google and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But even using, like, Google or YouTube or something like that to help them understand how to navigate. And then you got your bachelor's, you got your master's, and you were kind of in the space of ambiguity and uncertainty about how you were going to get to that next step of your dream and being able to accomplish your dream. And in the midst of all this, you had this amazing blessing come into your life. What was it like facing the ambiguity and uncertainty of engaging in the process of raising a tiny human in the midst of all of it? Like, what was it like to engage in that space of ambiguity? Because we've talked about the professional space, But what was it like in the personal space engaging that?
You know, I don't even consider that an area of uncertainty for me because it was, I never questioned that. That's something that I welcomed, something that I enjoyed so much and still enjoy. So that for me, that was not something that I was uncertain about. It was like, this is what I'm doing. And this is happening. And I felt like I could be what she needed. And in the end, she was what I needed, right?
Amen. So,
I never questioned it. I've always been very motherly in my goals in my life. When I was younger, I wanted to be a wife, a mom, and a doctor. It just came in a different order.
Ooh, I love that.
So I was a mom, then I was a doctor, and then I was a wife. So I feel like that's one of the greatest gifts of my life is Jay. So that's not anything I ever questioned.
Wow. So even in what a lot of people would consider engaging in like the uncertainty of motherhood, you were like, no, this is the way that I was created. This was a portion of what I was created for. I love that. So, and I also love the consistency that I feel like from your story, something that I, even with knowing you all my life, have never really truly seen until we're having this conversation of the visions that you've been given and how you've been able to remain steadfast and committed to each and every one of those visions. You knew you were going to be a wife. You knew you were going to be a mother. You knew you were going to be a doctor. And all of those things came to fruition, just maybe not in the initial order that you expected.
Yeah.
Wow. That is truly amazing. So you've gone down this journey of education and motherhood, and now you receive this acceptance letter. What was that shift like for you when it was now, you said you had to learn to study again, but what was the shift, or maybe it was a specific mental shift, but what was the shift like for you when now you are finally getting to this path that leads directly to your vision? What was that transition like for you?
It was a little bit difficult at first because, you know, people tell you that going to medical school is like trying to drink water from a fire hydrant. Like they just pop the cap off and it just starts coming at you. And that's really true. It's a lot of information at one time. And I just had to keep reminding myself why I was there. Yeah. It comes back to like have an appropriate circle. And so I developed that early when I got there. And that's the people who were my support system. And I was there to always be reminded when I felt like maybe I wasn't going to be able to get through it, that I could. There was a purpose, right? And just trying my best to stay prayerful and remember what the ultimate goal is, right? Is to be of service. Because I tell people all the time, I feel like medicine is my ministry. Everybody has their own ministry and their own way to reach people. And that was mine. And I knew that if I could get through the coursework part of it, because the first 2 years, all you're doing is looking at a book. You don't even really see real patients. And get to that third year part of it where you actually get to lay hands on patients and be near patients, that I was going to be, you know, in the home stretch and doing what it was that I really wanted to do. And so that was like just taking it a day at a time and a week at a time was how I kind of got through that.
Wow. So you've taken us through a wide range. And as I mentioned before, you took us through this concept of having a vision from a young age and knowing that you were going to be a wife, a mother, and a doctor. What does it feel like? What does it feel like being on the other end of the vision where these things that you saw, these things that you believed have like now come to fruition? You made it through medical school. You made it through residency. You are an amazing doctor. You are an amazing mother. You are an amazing wife in whatever order you want to put that in. You are like, you are living the vision that you were given. What is it like being on the other side of the vision?
Sometimes unreal. Yeah, sometimes it's unreal. I mean, it feels great, of course, to be on the other side of it. But then you have to figure out what's next, you know, in your journey, because it doesn't end there. But I feel tremendously blessed, right? So it's how many people can say that they said they were going to do something from the time they were 6 years old and it actually came to fruition. But I like to let other people know that it wasn't easy. So when they get to a point where it's not easy, they can still see that it can be done. And working on letting myself be seen more because I'm very much an introvert. But I feel like I'm one of the people whose stories some people might need to hear.
Absolutely.
Because the path is not straight. Everybody. Sometimes it's very windy. Sometimes it's a mountain. Sometimes it's a deep, deep valley. But the end point is the same.
Yeah.
We just got to have a little resilience.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. This has been so good. And thank you for your openness and vulnerability about the entire process that you went on. For myself and for any listener out there, what final advice would you have us as we face ambiguity or uncertainty while we're trying to obtain the vision that we know we've so clearly seen, or maybe just that we're facing in general? What advice would you have for us?
Remain steadfast. Be focused on the goal. Whatever it is that you believe in, whether it be God or the universe, which is actually all the same, all of us have a purpose. And if you believe that that is whatever this vision is your purpose, you got to figure out how to get there. And if you listen, and if you are prayerful, you'll be guided along the way. It's kind of like that Footprints poem. Sometimes you feel like you ain't making it, and he'll lift you up and carry you if you will just allow it. As many times I've been carried, you know, and get yourself around people who are prayerful and positive thinkers, because sometimes those are the people who are also lifting your name up to be lifted up.
That's so good. That's so good. Oh, my goodness. Keisha, thank you so much for being on the podcast. This has been
my pleasure.
So amazing. I'm telling you, like, I have actually learned even more about you, and it is so dope to get to know you in this other type of way too. So for anyone that wants to connect with you or follow up with you, can you tell everyone how they can find you or where they can find you?
Sure. My Instagram handle is @mahoganymd. In my Twitter account, which I'm trying to use a little bit more, I'm struggling with that, is @DrKeishaBell, KEISHABELL. And I'm happy to hear from you. I don't give medical advice over Instagram.
Let them know.
Feel free to reach out if I have anything about this.
Let them know. Like, listen, we not taking appointments over this thing. Come on. But man, this has been so awesome. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. And a very special thank you to all of the listeners. This week, I challenge you to remain steadfast in the vision. And until next time, I'll talk to you later on Ambiguity with Ambi. Thanks for listening to this episode of Ambiguity with Ambi. I'm your host, Amber Latrice, and I hope you enjoyed our discussion about navigating the uncertain and ambiguous parts of life. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to subscribe on your favorite streaming platform. And if you'd like to help support the podcast, please be sure to share it with others, post about it on social media, and leave a rating and review. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram @IAmAmberLatrice. Thanks again. And until we connect next time, I encourage you to embrace the uncertain and ambiguous moments of life. Talk to you next time on Ambiguity with Ambi.